deemed to be the chairperson. And then if there's going to be more than one nomination, then we are going to vote by show of hands. The voting will be done by members only. So any nomination from members?
Honorable Gum.
Honorable Gum has been nominated seconder. Seconded by Honorable De Freitas. Any other nomination? No other nomination. So Honorable Gum, you are acting chairperson.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Congratulations. the reason is I have another portfolio committee that I'm on, which is DTI, and the minister is going to be addressing us at about 10:30, 10:45. So if you see me slip out, I'm not going to have a cup of coffee in the coffee bar, but to go to another meeting.
Now we understand that. Good morning to everyone and welcome to this very important meeting this morning. Can I first of all just ask, are there any apologies? No specific apologies, Eddie?
There's been an apology from Honorable Ngasela and the chairperson, Ms. Maunya.
Yes, the chairperson can unfortunately not be here today. Maybe I should just start off by reading a letter that she has sent to our committee after the passing of her sister. She says in the letter, "How can I put words to paper to properly express how much I appreciate the way this committee has reached out to me during this time of huge loss? Tears were replaced with smiles and I had lightness in my heart with your kindness. Our many thanks for the huge support you have given our family since sister's sudden death. It has helped us through a difficult time, knowing we have such good friends and colleagues. Knowing you are all there for us in times of need is such a comfort. My family and I would like to thank you. Yours sincerely, Maggie Maunye." We have on our agenda three items today. Maybe the most important of all of them is the Independent Electoral Commission that has joined us this morning to give us a briefing on their readiness for the upcoming elections on the 7th of May. We very much look forward to that briefing and welcome to all of you here, Mr. Terry Chalani, the Vice Chairperson, Judge Makanya, Commissioner Taliart, Mr. Muepia, the CEO, Lebisi Mpanya, the Chief Information Officer, Steve Langtree, the manager in the CEO's office. Before we hand over to you, I just want to point out that the other two agenda points would be to consider the legacy report of this committee for the term that we are about to complete. And thirdly, and we will deal with that later, was an item that was put on the agenda by Honorable De Freitas, concerning regulations in terms of the immigration legislation that we have. But we will deal with that later. At this point in time, I would like to immediately continue then with our main point on the agenda. And I'll give over to the Vice Chairperson. I understand the Chairperson has apologized that she cannot be here with us, unfortunately, today. So I hand over to the vice chairperson of the Independent Electoral Commission, Commissioner Terry Zalani. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members and honorable chairperson, or acting chairperson. I would like firstly to express our apologies for the chairperson, Advocate Lagula, who has unfortunately been involved in another business outside the country, and also apologize for Commissioner Finger, who is not able to join us. He is also involved in another project of the Commission in the Eastern Cape today. And they have both really sent their sincere apologies. The chairperson had already introduced the team that is here, but I think I'd like to again reintroduce them. On my left is Commissioner Talzart, and on my right is Judge Makanya, who is also a commissioner. And the team from the administration is led by the Chief Electoral Officer, Mr. Moepia. And also accompanying the team is our Chief Information Officer, Mr. Lebisi Mapanga, and then Stephen Langtry. And Chairperson, I also want to really express our gratitude on behalf of the Commission for the kind of the support that we always receive from this committee. It is greatly appreciated. We go into these elections fully aware that these elections are going to be extremely complex and difficult. We have run the elections that are difficult in the past, but we think these ones are going to be even more difficult. But we are comforted by the fact that we know that we can always rely on this committee for the support. Some of the matters that will make these elections even more complex include the fact that we have more than ever before intra-party tension as well as inter-party tension. We hope that the issue be within the Pan-Africanist Congress has been resolved, and that going into these elections, particularly with nominations, we are not going to find that the tension that exists within the political parties will then be transferred to the electoral commissions and the officials of the commission. But members may also be aware that we've been experiencing pockets of instability in certain parts of our country. We are hoping that the political parties and the community concerned will be able to assist us so that we can be able to have a credible elections even in those areas where some of our communities appear to be dissatisfied with certain things that are happening in those communities. But also another aspect is that we have experienced a very intense scrutiny more than ever before in our processes. Some of the things that could be ignored in the past are no longer being ignored. Political parties, continuously they take us to court to contest some of the issues. Of course, we are not saying that political parties should not be doing that. I'm just raising it because then it also forces us to begin to focus most of our resources and energies in contesting in the courts whatever issues that the political parties are bringing before us. But also we have experienced intense media scrutiny in each and everything that we are doing. So these are some of the things that we think are going to make this the elections even more difficult. But from our side as the Electoral Commission, we have been doing this job for a long time. We've got a pool of electoral staff, electoral expertise, and we believe that this team will be able to run the elections in a credible manner. We think that's why we are ready. We are waiting only for the political parties now to finalize their submission of lists tomorrow, and we will be proceeding with the printing of the ballot papers. We have already appointed a panel of printers that will be printing the ballot papers. The voter's roll has already been certified by the chief electoral officer. Our logistics are in place. We have recruited electoral staff. We are training them now. And we will be ready to run these elections come May the 7th. The area where we will require support, it's obviously in terms of managing the political environment within which we are going to be running these elections. Chairperson, without wasting too much time, I'm going to give our chief electoral officer an opportunity to present, and then immediately after that we will take questions and comments from the honorable members, and the whole team will be responding to those issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. The Vice Chairperson has indicated that our preparations are proceeding well, and at this stage are in an advanced stage of readiness. I'm going to deal with these matters, you know, beginning from where we were when we presented to this committee the last time and indicated that we were following settlement patterns, we were looking at registering voters, and so on and so forth. We have indeed done so. You will recall last year, sometimes in March, we indicated that we were going to go into communities where we had new settlement patterns. We did do so. We then held our registration weekend, having finalized all of the new settlement patterns up to the last registration weekend of the 8th and the 9th of February. So up to that point, any new settlement pattern in the country is completely covered, has a voting district. We have also revised the voting station network. That number says 22,261. It was a number that was at 263. There are two stations that had less than 100 people registered. We are going to retain those two stations, and that number will be 22,263. This is an increase of about 9.4% on the previous number of voting stations previously. You will see that this would mean that indeed there will be more stations open to our citizens, the voters, and there will be shorter distances for them to travel to those stations. There are 1,255 voting districts which have substations. In other words, if it's a school, you will find that a number of classrooms in that school will be used. And therefore, service will be improved to those voters. We do, unfortunately, have just over 142 voting stations in the country that have a high population. For example, Joubert Park in the city of Johannesburg is the smallest voting station in terms of geographic area, but the highest in terms of population. We have over 10,000 people in that station, so we will have substations in that voting district. There are about 12 substations that we are looking at in that station. We had two targeted and communication registration weekends. These are in those areas where there were new settlement patterns, and we had identified and we had gone into those communities informing the citizens that there are changes in their communities. And through that process in March and September, we registered approximately 400,000 people through targeted and communication registration weekend. We also had two registration weekends concluded in the Republic, one on the 8th and the 9th of November 2013 and one on the 8th and the 9th of February 2014. The first one yielded just over 1.1 million registered voters. The second one yielded over 1.25 million registered voters.
that brought us in excess of 2.65 million registered voters for the two weekends. If you take into account the targeted communication and registration weekend, over 400,000, we are exceeding the 3 million mark. We also had two registration weekends successfully concluded in January, outside of the Republic. This happened in 108 countries where South Africa has diplomatic missions, and the number of diplomatic missions in these 108 countries is 123. Through this initiative, we registered 4,600 people, more than 4,600 people, and of those, we registered 6,400 people. Of those, 4,602 were new registrations. In other words, these were South African citizens who had never registered before. The others were persons that said, I'm now ordinarily resident outside of the Republic. Registration at correctional services countrywide was concluded in the period 5 to 7 February 2014. And through this effort, we registered 9,900 South African citizens. If we look at our current registration figures, they stand at 25,390,150. There's a number that's been in the news. You will recall that when Census, Stats SA released their census data late in September, October 2012, they indicated that there were 434,035 citizens who were of a voting age. We then packed at that time and said we will target 80% of those people to be on our voters roll at least. And that led at that point to a target of 25,147,228. And I'm pleased to indicate to the committee that we have in fact exceeded that target by some 242,922 voters. Our voters' roll stands at 80.8% of that target. It is important I point out at this stage that Stats SA recently issued a media estimate, which was more than the number that is over there. That is an estimate that they now have. And I clearly indicated that when they issued their actual data, we benchmarked on that actual data. If we look at the registration of South African citizens versus the voting age population by province, you will notice that all provinces except for three, in fact it's four, are the ones that are below the 80% number. You will note that the Free State is the one province that has exceeded the voting age population, as we have said, by the greatest margin. Gauteng was very difficult. It has a large population, but it has been difficult to reach the 80% there. We have registered 77.11%. Out of country citizens, that is the number I had indicated, 6,789. It has no comparison because this is the first time South Africa has a segment, an international segment on the voters' roll. Let's move. If one looks at the voters' roll comparison in terms of the equivalent elections, you will notice that in 1999, when the voters' roll was developed for the first time, we were at 18.1 million registered voters. At that point, the estimation of the voting age population was that we were at 80%. When we look at 2004, we had 20 million 674,926. That number today, as you can clearly see, steadily has increased to 25,390,000. I must indicate to the House that this is a net figure after removing persons that are deceased from the voters' roll. So, actively speaking, the Commission has been increasing enrollment on the voters' roll significantly year after or election after election. The age group breakdown is important. It is a well-known fact that we were looking at South African citizens who were much younger. These are persons that had not had many opportunities in the past to register. You will recall that many of our citizens born in 1994 would have had their first real opportunity for registration weekend in this registration weekend period, and therefore registering for the elections now. One of the things that a question is often asked on is if you look at South African citizens, 80% plus, if you look at Stats SA voting age population estimates, they say it is 533,647. We have actually found, not estimated, we've actually found persons with unique ID numbers to the tune of 575,222. So if you say to us that, you know, that number can't exceed the population, we accept that, you know, statistics are statistics. We work on the actual numbers, and those are what the actual numbers are telling us at the moment. This is a very important pictorial. You know, all the things that I have indicated from the beginning are very clearly visible from this graphic. The darker the graphic, the greater the registration percentage, and the lighter the graphic, an indication of areas where South African citizens, you know, of a voting age population versus those that we have registered are indicated. And so you will see in the areas of KwaZulu-Natal, the Eastern Cape, most parts of the Free State, except for the one municipality in the Free State, the rest of the Free State is very dark. And it gets slightly lighter as you go up north and a little bit to, you know, northwest. Those are the areas where we need to look at. Some parts of the Western Cape and, you know, in the areas of the Eastern Cape, we do find that there are areas where we also need to look at the registration numbers. This map, it's really a good graphic just at first glance, and the numbers per province are actually reflected in the in this the rectangle on top to the top left of that graphic there. If we talk about registration of political parties, it is important to indicate that this is an activity that never has a cutoff. Any party that seeks to register for this election or to contest these elections will have their last opportunity if they are not registered tomorrow, which is the date on which the submission of list closes. They cannot contest the elections. But the registration of parties continues. There are 196 registered parties as at the 6th of March, which is the date on which we're supposed to send this presentation. 148 of those parties would be eligible to contest these elections. These are parties that are registered in the national sphere of government. You will recall that parties can either register in the national sphere of government or the municipal sphere of government. And having to contest the national sphere of government or provinces, they would have had to be registered in the national sphere, and therefore those are the eligible ones. Registration will continue as we often do. There are a number of people that we are eyeing to have working for the Electoral Commission at this time. A very important part that I have skipped in the presentation relates to persons that work within communities delivering what we call civic and voter education. There are over 3,000 people in communities doing that. Of those, we have municipal outreach coordinators, as well as democracy educators who are doing some field work in communities. Those are the people that go to community events, they go to schools, sports clubs, youth organizations, and so on and so forth to do civic and voter education. Civic education has been completed at the end of February. We are now in the course of doing voter education. We also are looking at approximately 212,000 electoral staff members that are going to be employed for this elections. The recruitment of these people has started. I must indicate that presiding officers and deputy presiding officers were already recruited. They now need to bring on board those colleagues that they will be working with in the voting stations. Training materials have been revised to adapt them to a modular approach that we had indicated to the committee we are going to be adopting, because this really makes life easier for us. We organize the content in terms of the emphasis we need to place. You will recall that we came to this committee previously and indicated that counting, voting and counting, is an element of the training that we need to look at very carefully. I'm very pleased to indicate that this has been taken into account, and our training is very advanced in terms of this requirement. We have built in risk management into our required staff numbers per municipality. In those areas where we have had challenges in the past, we have up to 25% of the staff that we are going to recruit being contingency staff members. In other words, presiding officers, deputy presiding officers, who we can call on at short notice if we have trouble anywhere. And these are people we can also tap into when we need additional capacity late in the day when queues can become a challenge in the stations that we work in. When we look at how we are relating and liaising with political parties, our party liaison committees are currently operational across all spheres of government, in the national sphere, in the provincial sphere, and in the local sphere. For this particular election, the Commission took a decision early. Commissioner Tilani, Vice Chairperson, has indicated that there have been a number of challenges, and the Commission has dealt with those challenges head on. We have extended an invitation to all parties that are registered in the national sphere of government to say if they intend contesting this elections, they are welcome to join national PLCs. In other words, they have been co-opted in terms of Regulation 9 of the regulations on party on the registration of political parties, and they are indeed on board. We have ongoing participation in the joint structures, which provide an ongoing monitoring of conditions in which the elections are to take place. Quite a number of interventions that Commissioner Tilani also referred to are informed by our participation in these structures. Extensive consultations are also taking place through the National Coordinating Forum, which is a forum that the Electoral Commission has established early last year, looking at civil society organizations in this country and saying to them there are three very important things that we need to do. One is to promote domestic election observation. The second one is to look at the efforts that civil society organizations are undertaking with respect to civic and voter education and how best we could work together. And thirdly, it's the area of dealing with conflict, proactively dealing with conflict in communities where elections are taking place. For our part, we have recruited and have fully established the conflict management panels that we've always done throughout the years. They are working extremely well. And one of the things that we, it's not often said, is that where these panels work well, we don't get to hear about tensions that have escalated to another level. And I think that's really where the beauty of these panels lie. Extensive communication per electoral process is taking place with cut-off dates across the media platforms that we have, but particularly with political parties and their supporters. And I will talk about this when we talk about the election timetable slightly later. Perhaps I've come to that point where we need to talk about this election timetable. In terms of this election timetable, you will recall that the President and the 9 premiers proclaimed the elections on the 25th of February 2014, having had consultations with members of the Commission. Notification of intention in terms of the election timetable opened for those South African citizens who are currently outside of the Republic. This is in terms of the Electoral Amendment Act that was passed on the 26th of November. On the 26th of February, consultations were concluded with parties represented on the National Party Liaison Committee. And I must emphasize at this point that these parties included those parties that are unrepresented that I had spoken about, which the Commission had co-opted onto the PLCs. This election timetable was passed without any difficulty, and that timetable was then gazetted by the Electoral Commission on the same day. It is important to point out that the submission of lists was then effective from the 26th of February. We have on that score received quite a number of lists from a number of political parties. I understand there are a number of others that have made appointments today. And of course, tomorrow at 5, this will close. On the 5th of March, the Vice Chairperson has indicated that we certified the voters' roll. Indeed, the voters' roll has 25,390,150 names. This is a record number of names we have on the voters' roll for an election in our nation. We also have, Stephen, if you go back, we also have on the 5th of March, we issued a gazette with a list of addresses of voting stations, which we made available for anyone to inspect. This is a list of all the 22,263 voting stations that we have countrywide. That list remains open at every one of our offices in the country, in our municipal electoral offices, at provincial offices, as well as our national office. We've also published the routes of mobile stations, voting stations, which will be taken, and the times that those mobile stations will be operational. On the 12th of March, which is tomorrow, it's a very important day. That is the day on which, at 5, we close off for the submission of lists of candidates. As I've indicated, 148 parties, as at the 6th of March, were eligible to register, to register their candidates and pay the necessary deposit. We will be closing at 5 tomorrow. Indications are that, unlike in the past, a number of parties may have registered and given us their lists before the normal rush hour of 5 that we have experienced. There have been good working relationships, I must indicate, in terms of the training we have offered to political parties for the submission of their lists. There have been the Commission has extended a helping hand to these political parties to ensure that we promote compliance than leave parties to struggle on their own. there has been a matter that we were told by a court we have to promote, we have a positive duty to promote participation, and the Commission is assisting in that regard. On the 18th of March, it will be a cut-off date for the CEO to issue notices of non-compliance to these parties that have submitted their lists in terms of Section 27 of the Electoral Act. Non-compliance effectively refers to those aspects of submission that affect two things. One, it's when a candidate has not signed their acceptance of nomination. And secondly, it's when they have not submitted a copy of the ID book of the candidate. It does not relate to the payment of the deposit in the prescribed manner. It does also not relate to a late submission completely from scratch. So those two requirements, the copy of the ID book or smart card or temporary identification certificate, as well as the signature on the acceptance of nomination, are the things that we will inform political parties about on the 18th of March. On the 27th of March, political parties have the opportunity to correct their non-compliances. In other words, to comply fully in terms of Section 27. We'll then have on the 28th, we'll issue a notice of inspection of candidates and with accompanying documents. Any South African citizen may come to Election House in Centurion, which is our head office, to view any documents submitted by any political parties or any political party. Those documents will lie for inspection. And often this is when someone says, I know Mosotho Moepia, who is a candidate of this party, who is declared of, you know, unsound mind or this or that or the other, and they provide the evidence, and we need to deal with that objection. In other words, members of the commission will deal with those objections at a time that I will indicate. But this is also a period where persons may say, in terms of the Constitution, Section 46 and 106 of the Constitution, the persons are not fit to stand for office, and therefore this is the evidence we provide, and we are objecting to them. And the Commission will consider those. That list will lie for inspection between the 28th and the 31st of March. On the 1st of April, it will be a cut-off date for the submission of those objections once list has been inspected. On the 7th of April, it is the cut-off date for members of the Commission to have dealt with every one of the objections that they have received. In other words, persons may start objecting from the 28th up to the 31st. And on the up to the 5th, sorry, on the 7th, by the 7th of April, the Commission needs to have completed all of their objections. Often, and from my experience, is that if somebody has been objected to and the Commission does not sustain the objection, in other words, they reject the objection, the objector may say, I'm unhappy with the decision of the Chief Electoral Officer, I'm unhappy with the decision of the Commission, I'm now going to the Electoral Court. And that process will open from the 10th, I mean, will close on the 10th of April 2014. That is the date on which persons may appeal against the decisions of the Commission to the Electoral Court. In the intervening period, from the 7th to the 17th of April, applications for special votes will be received at the offices of the Municipal Electoral Officer. This is a provision that you will recall was brought in line with the Local Government Municipal Electoral Act provision. We are using it for the first time in national and provincial elections. In other words, anyone, any South African citizen that will say on the 7th of May, I am not in a position to be at the vote at my voting station, needs to make an application in that window period. There will not be an opportunity for anyone to just go to the office of the presiding officer on the 5th or the 6th of May and say, I want to apply and cast a special vote. All special votes will be applied for in the period between the 7th and the 17th of April. On the 15th of April, it's our cutoff date for appeals by the Electoral Court. In other words, the Electoral Court needs to have decided every one of the appeals that may have been submitted to it in terms of those decisions that aggrieved persons have submitted following the consideration of the objections by members of the Commission. On the 22nd of April, the Chief Electoral Officer will give effect to the decisions of the Commission and those of the courts. In other words, if a candidate has been removed by the court or by the Commission, that will be effected on the 22nd of April. That includes those candidates that the Chief Electoral Officer may have rejected and the Commission said no, include, or the court said no, include. By the 22nd of April, they will be included. On the 24th, certificates will be issued to all contesting candidates in this election. Just to give you an idea, we are expecting approximately 20,000 candidates, more or less. That is in relation to, lists as we have for the National Assembly, for the provincial legislatures, and the regional portion of those lists. So those are the numbers of certificates. It might be more, it might be less, but all of those candidates will then have certificates issued to them. On the 30th of April, an application and casting of special votes will take place outside of the Republic. I think I forgot to indicate that the closing of applications for special votes for South African citizens or citizens that will be outside of the Republic on Election Day will close tomorrow as well. Tomorrow at 5, those applications will close. Thus far, as at last night, that is, we had received over 18,000 applications of persons that are saying, I will not be able to vote in the Republic. I'll be voting outside of the Republic at this mission in this country. On the 5th and the 6th of May, our staff will be undertaking special votes. There will be two types of special votes. Those South African citizens who we need to visit at home or in the areas where they are. This will be persons who are bedridden, who are pregnant, and those who on frailty are not able to come to the voting stations. But we will also have persons that may be saying, I am not in the voting station on the 7th. Of May, and I have applied in the period between the 7th and the 17th of April to come to the office of the presiding officer. Those persons may come either on the 5th or the 6th. In terms of their application, they need to indicate on which of those 2 days they will be coming to cast their special votes. It is important to point out that sometimes persons apply for special votes and find themselves not in a position to come to cast that special vote on special voting day. Those persons ordinarily will be allowed to cast their vote on election day. The 7th of May, it's fairly obvious. We didn't put it on the election timetable. It is election day. The Commission has made two major determinations, as they should at this time. One of them relates to an aspect that the Vice Chairperson has spoken about, but the Commission has approved the design of the ballot paper and the languages that are to be used on the ballot paper in terms of Section 68 of the Electoral Act 1998. Those determinations were made a little while ago. We are currently implementing them. The second thing is the Commission has determined the number of reserved seats for each of the regions in the country. There are 9 regions in terms of Item 2A of Schedule 1A to the Electoral Act 1998. And these were gazetted on the 26th of February, having consulted again extensively with parties in the national sphere of government. Information communication technology is an area that we pay greatest attention to. Most aspects of our election processes are undertaken using information and communication technology. We have indicated before that we were undertaking drills to test the Electoral Commission's disaster recovery plans. These tests have been completed successfully. We are able to run from a number of sites or switch between sites with ease. And this is a very important capability when we go to elections. We will be switching if necessary, and we don't hope that we get to that point. Disaster is not a good thing to have, but if we should have, we have plans and we have tested those plans. We are able to switch to more than 2 sites at the moment, and that's the detail I'm able to give for now, Vice Chairperson. The rest it's a risk on its own. And we have also undertaken preparations to look at the audit of the result systems. As we have previously indicated, you will recall that we develop the systems, we test them rigorously, but we also invite through public tender processes service providers, particularly audit certified audit firms that have ICT audit capability. We invite them to audit those systems extensively. Literally, we say to them, break the system down and tell us what we have not taken into account in building the system for you to break it down. But also, tell us if the system has flaws in the way that it is doing what it is meant to do. And when they find these things, we correct them and they test again. At a point when they are happy, they give us a certificate that says, indeed, your systems are fit for purpose. At that point, we take the systems to political parties with a certificate and say, we have built the systems, we have tested them, we have had independent auditors testing them, and they have given us a clean bill of health, which is this. If you have persons with the requisite skills to undertake the same, this is the window period which you have to do the same. And after that, we then close those systems for use on elections. But before we use them on election day, our colleagues countrywide will set aside 2 opportunities to simulate an election day. My colleagues, they normally say to me, we are pumping data into the system. But they develop dummy data for every voting station to have 2 result slips that must be scanned through, captured, and a result determined as a test. And every one of our offices across the country will do that on the day, at the same time, for us to test the capability of our system. In other words, to say, will these systems hold? And secondly, to be sure that staff members will do exactly before the election day, will be tested on their ability to do that before election day. What am I saying to you? I say to you as the House, the Electoral Commission of South Africa will never go and use a new system that has not been tested, audited, and that colleagues have not used before election day. That should give you a fair amount of comfort that we will not, on election day, have people who, for the first time, see a piece of application or equipment that they have never had the opportunity to test and interface with. That, I think, it's a key to ensuring that the processes for our elections are indeed in place. I have indicated that two dry runs have been set up. I say two. In the event that we find that there are certain things that we are not happy with, we may even look at a third opportunity. But historically, two of those have been good enough. We have indicated that we have tested the smart card identity document. It works beautifully with our systems, and our systems will handle that without any difficulty whatsoever. We have, as I've indicated to you, implemented systems that South African citizens who will be outside of the Republic are able to use to apply for special votes when they go elsewhere. We have had nothing but good news from South African citizens. You apply online and immediately you get a notification that your application has been approved or rejected. And many South African citizens have sent us feedback saying, you know, what a beautiful system. And it just humbles us because this is what South Africans can deserve from our services. In every voting station, there will be a zip machine, as we call it, but this is a barcode scanning unit, which will carry the entire voter's roll on it. The reason we do this, you will remember that in this elections, when you are in the province where you're ordinarily registered, you should be able to vote anywhere in that province. It is important that we say to South African citizens, as far as is possible, go and vote at your voting station. There are a number of other issues that arise, but that segment of the voter's roll will be available on the ZipZip. Essentially, how it works is that the person operating the ZipZip, the presiding officer, will key in their identity document, scan a map of that voting station where they are. Like a GPS, that voter's roll will then be able to position itself at that voting station and will therefore activate the segment of the voter's roll for that voting station. And it will be in a position to then put that segment of the voter's roll in the sequence within which the voter's roll that is printed and is being used by the presiding officer is in the station. In other words, if you appear as sequence number 12, the scanner will know that on the printed copy you're number 12. This helps us when you come, the queue worker will immediately scan your ID number and say and give you a little printout that says you're number 12 on the voter's roll printed segment. And the person marking off the names from the voter's roll will get that slip, and they'll go straight to page 12. It is not, we take it for granted that people will read and be able to know that B comes after A, C after B and D. We are trying to help expedite the queues in the voting stations through that process. But also, so that any person who is registered in the province is able to get a vote when they come to that sticker or the printout will indicate that this person qualifies for both the provincial vote because they are within their province and the National Assembly ballot because they are registered. Where persons are outside of their province, the sticker will again indicate that they may not be issued with a provincial ballot because they are outside of the province within which they are registered. We will have the voter participation application This is an important application that we have used in the last elections for the first time. It indicates and has helped us ever since extensively in that we know when South African citizens normally come to voting stations, very early in the morning and late in the evening. It's when we are at our busiest in the voting stations. And therefore, we are able to schedule our lunch breaks and additional capacity in terms of the requirements that we have seen from previous voter participation applications. The electoral amendments and related regulations have been passed, and we have now fully incorporated them into our training materials, and we are applying them fully. Measures have been taken to strengthen the role of party agents at voting stations, particularly those ones that I've spoken about that have streams, you know, where a number of party agents in the one voting stations will be allowed, more than two. You know, if there are six streams, 12 party agents from a party will be allowed, two per stream. Counting will commence immediately after voting at every one of the voting stations. I must indicate that the Commission takes stringent measures to ensure that we do not deviate easily from this script. In fact, as far as I can remember, I can count only on the one hand where the Commission has come to a decision that it is possibly necessary to move. It does not happen very easily, and for good reasons, because it is in that vicinity that counting takes place, and the results for that station are made known to the people who have witnessed the counting of that station. We will be counting in the presence of party agents and observers. I have indicated that the National Coordinating Forum is encouraging South African domestic observers to participate extensively in these elections, and we are hoping that indeed they will take the Commission on that offer seriously. Result slips will be concluded at the end of the counting at the voting stations in the presence of party agents and observers. One of the things we are stressing as we train our staff members, we invite political parties to send their party agents, because we are not prescribing a different content to our presiding officers and telling party agents less than what we're telling our party agents. These are persons that will be working together on election day. They need to know what the law says, you know, about the work or activity of each other. Those roles complement each other. And therefore, party agents will be trained with our own staff where parties second them to us. It is important to point out that often parties tell us that, you know, they, at the time that we train our staff, they haven't as yet concluded their party training schedules and so on and so forth. But where they have or where they want to send their trainers, by all means, we accept them and we train them as well. So results will be filled there, signed, sealed, and send securely at the area where capturing will take place. We do not have counting centers. We have capturing centers. Counting takes place in the areas where voting has taken place. We only have capturing at a center within a municipality or a number of centers within a municipality. And at that center, we have a number of safeguards in place. We have party agents that witness the receipt of the results as were issued from the voting station. In other words, to say that they have not been tampered with, they are still sealed, and then they say, we sign that off. Secondly, they witness the capturing of the result slips by our officials. They also witness the auditing process of those results by a different set of auditors that we have secured, also by way of tender. These are, again, audit firms that do auditing in their ordinary course of business. They will look at whether the results, as we have on the results sheet, have been captured correctly into the system. In other words, where we say party one has five, it has been captured as five on the system. Where we say party two has two, it is captured as two in the system, and so on and so forth. And only once those results have been accurately verified will they then be allowed to pass through the system. If our staff member and the auditor together make the same or common mistake, we will still be able to pick it up, and we invite the rest of South Africa and the international community, because our results, once we capture the results, we also scan the results slip into the system, and it is linked to the voting station that it relates to. In other words, you are perfectly in a position on this occasion, even on a phone, which has the necessary capability, but the workstation, an iPad, a slate, whatever it is, you are able to say, my voting station is voting station number this, 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 and the other. You can call the result slip. You will find a copy of the result slip as was signed for by party agents and the presiding officer, as well as the captured result on screen. And anyone is able to verify those results. I've indicated that once the results have been confirmed by auditors, those results don't wait for the chairperson or the vice chairperson or members of the commission or the chief electoral officer or any staff member. They are immediately released on the results board and released to the media. One of the things I have not spoken about is the fact that in these elections, we have taken transparency to another level. The commission has approved that we will design applications, or apps, as people normally call them, that will provide to the media and media houses and to South African citizens for them to follow elections fully on their mobile phones, on their computers, workstations, again, iPads, and, you know, whatever gadget that has that functionality. They can follow the results and really see results as they come in and to the point where seats are allocated. This helps in that wherever we commit an error, I call it an error because when you have so much transparency and scrutiny, anyone is allowed to object in our nation to a result, they can bring it to our attention and we will deal with it. I have indicated that political parties and the media will be given to our systems, not only at the result center, but, you know, quite a number of those already are working with us in terms of the applications that we are developing to see how best they will get that data, interpret that data, and package it for their users. Complaints are a part of the process that the Commission has also not shied away from. There are two processes that we have in place. One is the complaints process, which is a normal thing that says, you know, when I walked into the voting station, the presiding officer did not smile to me in the way that I expected them to smile. And we say, sorry, you know, we'll tell them to smile often, you know. But those are really complaints, Commissioner Tillman?
No, I say we'll train them to smile.
Yes. it is part of the training, but sometimes, you know, the smile also doesn't last, you know. But what we are saying is that there are those things in the ordinary course of us doing work. Somebody may complain about and say, you know, I didn't like this or I didn't like that or whatever the case might be. Our systems will be able to track those complaints. They will, when a complaint is submitted, it will be logged on. It will have a unique complaint number. It will indicate to who it has gone, which of our officials it has gone to, and it will indicate to us when that complaint was closed. Where complaints are not closed within specified time frames, they will escalate to the next person in terms of seniority, and all of them will be resolved. The second part, it's the most important part. Complaints are also very important. By the way, there are also lots of compliments that come through that process. We also deal with them in that way. But the second part is the most important part. Every step of our electoral process has an objection process in law. Those objections will also be logged in. They will have an indication of a unique number, the person who logged them, and who they have been submitted to. And they will be followed through up to the point where the commission has resolved them one way or the other. There are objections in law that must be reported in the voting station to the presiding officer, and they will be summarily dealt with in that process. If these objections have not been satisfactorily resolved, they can be escalated to members of the commission. But we do find that a number of objections that members of the commission deal with are those objections that relate to results or the materiality of results or part of the counting process and so on and so forth, sorting of the ballots. The commission often deals with those objections very speedily, but we will have a system that records those objections and when they were received and when they were closed. Information remains available on our website extensively, but also on other websites. South African citizens outside of the Republic find a lot of information on websites where they follow South African news. We have, through our media buyer, researched the areas that they visit the most, and we place information available on those websites. On Facebook, we are finding our Facebook page is very busy this morning. In fact, last night we were short a few hundred short, less than 400 short of 140,000 followers. And so we find that every day we have people that register to follow us there. Twitter, we are finding that it's also a very useful platform, and persons deal with us on Twitter. A number of my colleagues in the office continuously monitor and respond in terms of the platforms that are available to us, and they engage extensively with South Africans, particularly young people. We have billboards, posters, radio and television advertisements, and I have indicated on web pages we advertise extensively. We still have SMS opportunities, in terms of which persons send their ID number to 32810 and confirm their registration details, but also can confirm where they vote in terms of the arrangements that we have at the moment. Once they send that, the cost is R1 per SMS. They get the information that they require. We have a public call center, which is toll-free on 800-11-8000. Sorry, that is 8000. Stephen, we have 800. It's 800-11-8000. I'm terribly sorry about the missing zero at the end of that 8000 there. That number is toll-free from a landline. If you call it from a cell phone, it is chargeable. We also have opportunities for persons that may go and check on our website under the tab, Am I Registered? And they will be able to put in their ID number and verify their registration status. You can also go on our website and say, where do I vote? Our website will find your name on the voter's roll and tell you exactly where you should go and vote. I think, Vice Chairperson and members of the Commission, I have tried to summarize what we have done for almost 2 years in an hour or so. I will rest this here. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, that is our report from the Electoral Commission, and as the Chief Electoral Officer has indicated, we are ready for these elections.
Thank you very much for that. We will open up to questions now. I will kick off, and then I think I see Honourable De Freitas, Honourable McIntosh, Honourable Hasibonwe with a new surname, Tongwane, and Honourable Maduna Peterson. What I want us to do is, if a member, otherwise some of the questions get lost. So if a member asks a question or two, three questions, we allow the commission to first answer those questions before we go to the next member. So I'll just kick off with a few practical things, maybe. You mentioned that some of these voting stations have been moved and that people are always informed about this and have been informed. What we picked up, I think, during the registration process is that it is not always the case, unfortunately, that people are always informed. And in certain cases, voters are actually discomforted in the process of moving these voting stations, and it's not always closer to them as well. I mean, there is, for example, the example of Ward 99 in Khayelitsha, where the voting station has been moved from St. John's to Cape Town College, and there's a huge degree of dissatisfaction with that. So maybe, I don't know whether these voting stations and their placements have been finalized, but maybe if you could just be sensitive, maybe you can just answer to that in terms of moving these stations and just revisit some of the complaints in that regard. Secondly, during the registration process, we definitely had the problem again of certain voting stations closing before all the people that are standing in queues have been attended to, and interventions were needed from the political parties to sort that out and to make sure that these voting stations are being kept out. Can we have an insurance from you that there will be special care in this regard, that we don't have this problem on voting day? Thirdly, the other problem where we have long queues was that in many instances there were too few IEC staff. And these stations where long queues could have been expected were actually treated the same than other stations where there were no queues during the course of the day. Are you aware of this, and will this be attended to? And then just finally, there are two, maybe I missed the outcomes of these cases, I don't know, but there are two court cases, as I understand, that are actually pending. The one dealing with our legislation that we passed earlier this year on the voting of South Africans outside of their province, whether they also would have a provincial vote. The legislation says no, as well as people living abroad voting in not being allowed, South Africans living abroad not being allowed to have a provincial vote. Now, is that case still pending? What would be the impact on the elections if of a finding, for example, that the legislation is unconstitutional? What is the situation in that regard? We're very happy to have Commissioner Judge Makanya here. Maybe he can also assist us in this regard. And then the EFF's court case that is also pending, as I understand. Now, what are the implications? You say that tomorrow registration is the last opportunity for the registration of political parties. Also, obviously, for the submission of the lists. But as I understand it, part of the requirement for a political party to register is to pay the deposit. So now, what is the impact of this pending court case on the registration of that party, for example, and if the court then rules that the deposit does not have to be paid or has to be paid, whatever, what impact would that have on the registration or not of that political party? Those are my questions. Maybe if you can answer that, then I'll go over to Honourable De Freitas, I think, was next in line. Thank you.
Well, I thought the majority of the questions were comments and but the CEO can respond to those that that require a response. Some, I think, were suggestions, and I think they've been noted, but you can just emphasize, particularly in relation to what we do in relation to training.
Chairperson, the issue you raise with Ward 99 in Khayelitsha regarding the moving of stations, it's a very, very difficult matter. And in fact, you see the effect of that on the lists that we have published. In some instances, an area that we always use as a voting station may not be available for one occasion, for, let's say, a registration weekend, because it's a church hall and there's a funeral that is taking place at the church on that one day, and we have to relocate. Sometimes there are problems with that weekend and we don't have it. In those instances, we will move to another facility away from the area. In the event that we stop using that facility altogether, that process takes place only after members of the PLC, local PLC, have all approved the relocation of the voting station to another area. And we do put signage in the area. I accept and take note that we will need to, particularly in those areas where there are some changes, we will need to take extensive effort of notifying the affected communities. Registration stations closing when there are people in queues, it's a matter we also emphasize on election day. 99.99% of the time, it will happen. And in a few instances where it doesn't happen, Chairperson, we often get to hear about it, and we appreciate that those matters being escalated to ourselves, because we do get those stations open anyway. The long queues, you will recall that I spoke about the voter participation application, as well as the 25%, up to 25% staff that we will have in reserve in dealing with the challenges of stations where voters are basically looking for shorter queues. In these elections, the national and provincial elections, the fact that persons are allowed to vote anywhere in their province does provide us with challenges. Often you find that the voting stations where people are registered, they're ordinarily resident, they'll drive out and their friend will say, I'm at this station and what a pleasure, we are only 229 of us registered here, you just walk in and out. The person will drive there, and before we know, there are queues forming at that station because everyone is telling a friend, this is a good outlet. And often we have to then chase those queues around. That's the area that we are dealing with. But if people were to vote as far as is possible in the areas where they are registered, we have provided for them fully, and over and above that, we have 25% staff members that are, we will be using to chase these queues, as it were. The matters that you had raised are dealt with.
The Honourable Chairperson is indeed correct in relation to two issues, that there are two court cases that are still pending. The one dealing with South Africans who are outside the country, and then the other one relating to the matter of EFF. We are very, very cautious to comment about matters that are before the court, and we will deal with those issues once judgments have actually been given in those two cases. You may be aware that actually judgment is expected today in a matter relating to EFF. So we will deal with those issues once we have actually received the judgment.
Chairperson, if I may just comment on the closing of voting stations.
It is indeed so that, for instance, in Jubet Park.
Sorry. In Jubet Park, when it came to the registration week, we had quite a number of people in the queues. And in fact, those queues, the number of people, they were such that the cut-off time, the staff won't be able to deal with them. And we emphasized that they must deal with each and every one of them, you know, before they can go, even if it takes them to 9 o'clock. So I think it's important that from that comment that we move around as commissioners, as officials, and emphasize that it is important that we work until late.
Thank you very much. Just before we go on, in following up just quickly, I think we're not expecting you to comment on the merits, but clearly, you know, these two cases may have an impact on the electoral timetable, and the electoral timetable might even have to change. Do you accept that? And when is judgment expected in the other case?
I'm not too sure if my colleague knows the judgment, when the judgment is expected of the other case. But I just wanted to indicate to Honourable Chairperson, the issues that you are raising are the issues that about a few days ago the court requested us to respond to. And we have submitted a very lengthy response in relation to those issues. So my fear is to try to talk about the impact. I would actually be getting into the details of the matters that we have submitted before the court.
Okay, let's leave it there for the moment. Honourable De Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to ask you that same question. Thank you for that. Just a few questions of clarity. I just want to confirm, because I said, I think it was mentioned during the presentation on your page 2 of your slide, where you talk about substations. I'm presuming that you then put proportional additional staff to accommodate, because they may be called substations, but in reality they're almost like different voting stations all in the same premises. So I just want to confirm that. Then, I must be honest, I've never heard of mobile voting stations, and I'm fascinated with that. Perhaps you could tell us how it works, I'm quite surprised because I've never heard of it. Then, your voting stations, you mentioned on slide 12. Then, you talk about applications for special votes, and you mentioned voters that will not be voting at their VD. I do know that in this election, one can vote in any voting station as long as it's within your province, and I understand the logistical issues that it would be preferable to you for you to vote in your home VD. But what would be the instances where one would not be voting at their VD? And I'm not talking about special votes, so just what would qualify that? Then, just a question. I see you've tested the smart card ID, and that can be used during the election. Just to ask you, if a person registers on their old green barcode ID, and then can they now vote on their smart card? So are the two speaking to each other? And then your results centre, that I'm presuming that you're going to be having a provincial results centres the way you've done them in previous elections, and then a national centre in Pretoria, presumably. I just wanted to confirm that. And then your app also fascinates me. Where does one find them? Are they available already? And so forth, because that's a very nifty piece of technology. And then I wanted just to ask, is the procurement issue, the head office procurement issue, has that in any way tainted, firstly, the reputation of the IEC and the actual operations in any way? And are there any clouds hanging in that regard with regards to the Public Protector's report? And then my last question is, I'm greatly concerned, I'm sure South Africa is greatly concerned, what happened in Tlotwe and allegations of corrupt IEC officials and so forth siding with a particular political party, which is a very dangerous principle. Can you perhaps unpack that, first of all, in that particular issue, but in general, that that kind of thing is minimized or rooted out completely, particularly in this election, which obviously is a very dramatic one. Thank you.
Over to you to answer that. Thanks.
Very, very difficult questions indeed. I'm going to allow my fellow commissioners also to respond to some of the issues, but I just want to deal with two issues. And then the matter relating to the procurement of our head office, the question is, has this affected the operations of the organization and whether there is a cloud hanging? My response to that question is, I think it is of public knowledge now that the public protector did investigate. A report was available to public. There are matters relating to that report that still have to be attended to. We're in the process of dealing with all those issues. And also flowing from that report, there was a forensic report that was conducted by through Treasury by PwC. And the commissioners have received that report, and we're still consulting on it. But in relation to whether this has actually affected the operations of the organization, as I would say, not at all. The organization is focused on delivering the elections. We have been emphasizing to our team from the beginning that the focus must actually be on the operations of the organization, and that we should not actually let the investigation that has been conducted by the public protector to affect any of our operation. In fact, there is no reason why our staff members should actually be focusing on that report. The issue pertaining to Tlokwe, and I also don't want to deal with matters that are still before the court. That issue is before the court, and we will hear once the electoral court has pronounced on that, will determine the kind of steps that we should be taking in relation to that particular issue. But I must say, from where I sit, that unfortunately there are certain things that have been written in the newspapers that have actually not only dealt with matters that are before the court, but there have been exaggerations in the newspapers. And I think this has really led to people being a little bit unsettled about the attitude of the organization in relation to the issues that have emerged in Tlokwe. But we will wait for the report, and after that report we'll be able to see what kind of action needs to be taken. But like I'm saying, matters are before the court, but there have been exaggerations as well. I don't know whether members of the commission want to add to what I've already said, then the CEO can deal with the remaining issues.
Chairperson, the substations that the Honourable Member, Mr. De Freitas, has asked, indeed they are fully-fledged stations. They have a deputy presiding officer who reports to the presiding officer for the station. Counting, voting and counting will take place at the substations, and the results will be merged into the results of the station as a whole. That is why it was important when the electoral amendment bill came before this committee that we looked at additional party agents and observers for each one of those streams. Staff complement is completely in line with the concept of a fully, almost a fully fledged voting station. Mobile voting stations, Mr. De Freitas, are a phenomenon, particularly in the Northern Cape, where distances are large and the population is sparsely distributed. You do find that there are two households here, and in another 5 kilometers, another 10 households, and so on and so forth. And the concept of a voting station, mobile voting station, is that it will have stopping points, and we try as far as is possible not to have more than 5 stopping points, because essentially what it means is that we will define a stop. We will say that station will be at that area, in that area between 8 and 10 in the morning, and it'll travel for half an hour and be at another stopping point in that same station, and then on to a further point. But what we also gazette when we do this, it's an indication of where the mobile station will be at closing time, which is the point at which counting will take place. And at that point, counting will take place for the entire, or for all of the points at which the mobile station has stopped. I must indicate that the Commission has reduced the number of mobile voting stations extensively by providing a number of more fixed stations. But as I indicate, there are about 31 countrywide that we have not been able to close. To do so would have been to create challenges for the voters affected. The issue of persons voting outside of their voting stations, you will recall that Section 33, the new Section 33 of the Electoral Amendment Act, does indicate that persons that are, you know, for example, bedridden, highly pregnant, or who are frail, are persons that can apply to be visited, on special voting days. Those are persons that we will visit at the places that they have indicated on the 5th and the 6th of May. But there are also persons who will say, I am not in the voting station on election. I will not be able to come to the voting station on the day, but I will be able to come to the office of the presiding officer either on the 5th or the 6th. They specify the date. They apply at the office of the municipal electoral officer in the period between the 7th of April and the 17th of April. And we do not ask residents really when they say they are not, you know. And that provision really applies also to a number of persons that are in the essential services environment, nurses and members of the security forces and so on and so forth, will make use of those provisions. Journalists, for example, will make use of those provisions. Smart card IDs, will they talk to previous IDs? Indeed. The smart card, if you look at it, it has a barcode. In fact, it has two barcodes. It has a barcode that is two-dimensional, which is the move that South Africa will go for into the future, but it also has this one-dimensional barcode. The one-dimensional barcode has been designed primarily on our request as the Electoral Commission. When we spoke extensively with the Department of Home Affairs, they accommodated our needs, because it would have meant that the Commission would need to acquire new equipment for the registration. Incidentally, I must indicate that for elections, we do expect that approximately 150,000 South African citizens will vote using smart card IDs, because that's the number that is estimated to be available by the time we hold elections on the 7th. I'd like Ntatel Visimaphanga to talk to you about apps. I heard that you wanted the apps. And in terms of the results operation centers, we will indeed be at the showgrounds in Tshwane for the National Results Operation Center. But every province will host a results operation center, including Gauteng province, which hosts their center in Auckland Park. If Libisi could deal with the briefly the issue of applications, when they'll be available, and so on and so forth. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO, and thank you, honorable members. We are in the final stages of testing our apps. We also had a delay in terms of registration with the app stores because there were other regulations that gave us some difficulties. For example, they require a credit card, and the organization does not have a credit card. But we have resolved quite a number of those problems. We're in the final stages. By the end of the month, we'll announce and publicize the launch of those apps. A number of apps for some of them dealing with the standard facilities that we have on our website, but also providing for additional functionalities for the elections, and in particular for results. And we've also developed APIs to feed information into the media. And we are in consultation with all the media houses in terms of how they want that information streamed to their site so that they can interrogate it and use it as and in whatever way they want to. Thanks.
Thank you. Can I just ask, we are a bit pressed for time, or we're entering a zone where we become a bit pressed for time. So if you can just cut to the chase, please, and not ask too many questions. Honorable McIntosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say it's great to get a report like this. Again, IEC is a center of excellence in our society, and we appreciate that. I was also peddling the Argus cycle tour on Sunday for the first time in my life, and I was hugely impressed. 35,000 cyclists, brilliantly organized, and we ended in the stadium, and I remembered that while Brazil was struggling to deliver a World Cup, every match started on time, every stadium was completed, and it's just a pity the Bafana don't play a bit better. But we're a great country, and the IEC, to the commissioners and the staff of the CEO, congratulations. Two quick questions, because I don't want to unsettle the chairman. Between the period when the promulgation took place, on slide 12, you tell us that was the 25th of February, and 8th, 9th February, which was when we had the last big public registration. I mean, that was nearly 15 days. It would be interesting, maybe you don't have it available, how many people actually registered between the 9th and the 25th, because obviously it was quite a long time. Everybody was expecting the promulgation to be quite a few days later, and having been in party politics for 40 years, I have a slightly suspicious view on why that was so delayed. But not serious, though. The other last quick questions on slide 17, you talk about disaster management. I just wanted to inquire whether you have considered what happens if there are power outages and load shedding on election day, whether that's been factored into the possible disaster scenario. Obviously, we hope Medupi will be sending out plenty of electricity by then, and we won't have to worry about it.
Thank you. Over to you.
CEO, I think, can respond to those two.
The last one, it's easier to manage. We are very well prepared for elections, despite the challenges that the Vice Chairperson spoke about. But one of our challenges will also relate to the fact that we have ongoing relationships with ESCOM, and we will be meeting with them hopefully within the next 10 days to talk about our program, particularly around, you know, the 10 days leading to the 7th of May. And the 3 days after the 7th of May. Those are dates that are very critical to us. The night of the 7th of May particularly it's a very, very critical date, and we will be making arrangements with them to help us. But we do take precautions as far as is possible to have backup power ourselves. On the issue of how many people registered between the 9th of February and the 25th when the voters' roll was certified, there were at least 20,000. My colleague is trying to calculate the number. You will recall when we issued the results on the, was it on the 11th of February, we indicated that we had attained 80.5% of the voting age population. Today we indicate to you that it's 80.8. The difference, and that number that I'm trying to look at, I know it's just over 20,000 was the number of applications we received between the 11th and the 25th. A majority of those were received on the 25th itself. There are quite a number of our offices countrywide that on that date closed very, very late in the evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that, Honorable Tongwan. A new surname after she got married.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll ask the two easy ones. Like on the 8th of November, I was in an area where a group of violent young men burned both the scanner and the IEC banners. Registration could not take place on that day because people were fearing for their lives. Can IEC assure us that on the election date they will plead with the SAPS to deploy as many police officials as possible to the problematic areas to ensure the safety, to make sure the voters are safe, both the equipment are safe and its employees. The other question is with regard to the usage of classrooms on the voting date. How is that going to affect teaching and learning? Thank you.
Deputy Chair.
The matter relating to pockets of instability and violence in certain parts of our country. It's, of course, a matter of great concern to us as the Electoral Commission. We always say that our first price is a negotiated settlement between the relevant authorities and the communities that are affected. So we've been emphasizing the negotiations and saying to the communities that it is important that those issues are dealt with peacefully because we want to use the police really as a last resort. But I must also indicate that we've got a very excellent relationship with South African Police Services, and the level of cooperation that we've been getting from the Minister as well as the Commissioner and everybody else there has been really commendable. And we will continue to cooperate with them going into these elections. And we hope that all those incidents that happened previously will not happen. But we still want to emphasize again to our communities and to the political leadership at all levels that it is important that they try to find negotiated settlement with the communities that are restless so that our processes are not used, or rather that the grievances that they have, they don't use them to disrupt our activities as the Electoral Commission.
On the question of the disruption to teaching and learning, I'm pleased to indicate that the 7th of May has been proclaimed a public holiday.
Thank you very much for that. We are so relieved. Honorable Peterson, madam.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask quickly the registration at correctional services. You spoke about 9,900 countrywide. Can IEC explain why that number actually? Because I feel it doesn't look enough to me. And then my second one, when using the latest population estimates from State South Africa for the voting age population, the voting age population in 2011, no, I think I'm saying the wrong one here. When using the latest population estimates from State South Africa for the voting age population, it appears that the IEC has not reached its intended target of registering 80% of eligible voters. Can this be explained to? My last one, will there be sufficient time for the IEC to implement all amendments to the Electoral Act by May 7th? Thank you, Chair.
Deputy Chair.
The matter relating to correction, registration in correctional facilities, the numbers that have been given are of new registration. Remember that the people who are already there, the majority of them are already registered. So these are just new registrations. You can deal with other questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You have dealt with the first one adequately. The Stats SA numbers, members must not be, must not look at the new estimates which were released a month or two ago, in terms of which they are estimates. The Electoral Commission elected, as we always, as we've always done, to use the actual census data when it was released in 2012 to benchmark our registration gap. What census will, what Stats SA will do, is have an update, what they call a midterm update. This is what they released the other day. Our figures from the word go were not going to be benchmarked against the estimate. And I did indicate the effect of an estimate, particularly on the population age group 80 years plus, to say that their estimates are just that, estimates. We find that we, you know, there were more people than they estimated. So it is a good figure to benchmark against. But clearly, I would urge members to use our information, which we verify because we meet a person in person. You know, they present themselves in person, we know them, we have seen them, and we have registered them. On the issue of whether there will be sufficient time to implement the electoral amendment, absolutely. We have been training our staff on the Electoral Amendment Act, and I'm very pleased. Part of the fact that we now have an international segment of the voters' roll bears testimony to the fact that the Electoral Commission has fully or is fully complying with the Electoral Amendment Act. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. And the last member, Honorable Mnisi.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to commend the Commission that according to their report and presentation, we can see that the systems are indeed in place for our South African citizens to practice their democratic right of putting the cross into the ballot paper. And also, by taking transparency to other level, since we can now follow elections fully in our gadgets, we really appreciate that, and also appreciate the fact that measures are in place to prevent the long queues that are really a worrying factor in previous elections. Chair, in this coming election, we have a new international segment that is out of country. I think it also brings some new challenges to the Commission.
Honorable Makuba, is it possible for you to return, because we need a quorum later on for our next report, please?
I
apologize.
I think it also brings some new challenges to the Commission. Maybe so far, what challenges do you have regarding this new segment? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Matebe, did you indicate you also wanted to ask something?
No, I'm covered.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That was the last question then. Deputy Chair, over to you.
Well, the challenge that we're having now, it's obviously having to cater in terms of the resources for all the embassies and the missions that we are using. Remember in the past that before the court case, before the 2009 elections, we were only dealing with few people who were working for embassies and certain categories amongst those who were outside the borders of the country. Now the numbers have expanded, and it is the only challenge that we have, that we've got to put more resources. We have to train the officials that are going to be helping us in all those countries in order to be able to accommodate the numbers that are expected. I think to a large extent, that is the biggest challenge that we have had. But in terms of the logistics and operations, we don't think it is unmanageable. We have planned for it, and we think we've got the capacity to deliver a credible election, even for those people who are living outside the borders of our country. I don't know as to whether the CEO want to add anything.
Just two things. We have afforded South African citizens outside of the Republic two registration opportunities. It was a challenge, but it has been overcome in that once the Electoral Amendment Act was passed on the 26th of November, we had to find a period within which we can inform them and do so. We informed them immediately and undertook registration weekend on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of January. Was registration weekends outside the Republic, as well as on the 24th, 25th, and 26th for those weekends. The second challenge, it's really a challenge relating to Election Day itself. In the Republic, 7 May, it's a public holiday. Outside of the Republic, it will not be a holiday on the 30th of April, and the Commission has graciously agreed to extend voting hours to 9 in the evening in those countries. And that really deals with all of the challenges that one can anticipate outside of the Republic as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Members, can we leave it at that? Then I would just like to thank the Independent Electoral Commission very much for your presentation. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you for answering our questions. I think we can safely say that we are satisfied that you are well prepared and that the South Africa is election ready. The legitimacy of our elections and of our democracy is to a large extent in your hands at the moment, and therefore we are quite sure that you are well aware of that responsibility and that you will execute it with the necessary care in this very important time in our nation's history. We would also like to say that we are, therefore, I think we can say that we are quite confident that we will have another sterling example of free and fair elections as we celebrate 20 years of democracy. And we also would like to say thank you for the media that has been here. You obviously also have a very vital role to play in ensuring fair coverage of political parties, and in so doing, in ensuring that we have free and fair elections in our country. Thank you very much, and we will just break for 5 minutes now, because we don't have a we don't have a quorum at the moment, so we need at least one more. So we'll break for 5 minutes and excuse the IEC, and all the best with the very hard work that is lying ahead for you.
And
we are also going to have to work quite hard.
We look forward to your continued
I was going to say before Judge says
sure.
something that if you have a problem with a quorum, we can let some of our members to remain.
Especially the We also thank you, Chairperson, for the assistance that you have rendered and for the commendations that are coming from the honourable members. And we would that you continue to support us as you have, and we know that on the eve of the election and on the election itself, we'll have challenges, and then we will rely on the portfolio committee.
Thank you very much. It was a privilege working with you during this time.
Not that way.